It is exactly 02:17 a.m. The factory floor is it's operating on a skeleton night shift, and suddenly a 1.2 million euro stamping press just unexpectedly grinds to this massive shuttering halt.
Right. Total disruption.
Exactly. Total disruption. And the root cause of this massive failure, it's a simple, I think a 200 euro bearing, just a standard part.
Which is, frankly, a nightmare scenario.
It really is. Now, if you are a CTO or, a manufacturing leader listening to this deep dive right now, that exact scenario probably sends a very familiar shiver down your spine. But our mission today isn't to diagnose a mechanical failure.
No, not at all.
We're here to dissect a strategic failure. We are going to examine why modern industrial digital transformations are just stalling out, and how you can bridge that massive gap between a facility that is merely, instrumented and an architecture that is actually intelligent.
And understanding that distinction is everything. I mean, we are not approaching this as some hype-driven conversation about, the magic of the latest AI technology.
Right. No hype here.
Exactly. We're looking at this through a strictly analytical consultant-style lens. We're drawing directly on industry reports, McKinsey data, and advanced manufacturing thought leadership. Because the real tragedy of that stamping press going down at 2:17 a.m. isn't the broken bearing itself.
Yeah.
It is the environment in which it broke.
Well, yeah, and this is where the critical paradox lies, because that stamping press, it actually had 16 separate sensors installed on it.
16.
16. Data was streaming continuously from that machine, millisecond by millisecond. Up in the control room, live dashboards were just glowing with real-time metrics. I mean, the digital visibility was theoretically total.
Right.
And yet nobody saw this failure coming. The machine still died.
Which really establishes the core thesis of our analysis today, right? This was not a technology problem.
No.
The facility had the data, it had the visibility. What it actually had was a decision problem because, having sensors on a machine and building these beautiful glowing dashboards in a control room, that is merely instrumentation.
Right, it's just gathering numbers.
Exactly. If your entire multi-million-dollar digital system still requires a human being to physically stare at a screen, interpret every subtle anomaly, and then manually decide what action to take, you haven't actually built an intelligent factory.
You've just built a highly complex, very expensive monitoring system.
Precisely. And that distinction fundamentally changes how you measure progress in this space.
It really does. So let's walk through what the industry actually defines as the smart factory maturity gap, because I think this frames it perfectly.
Yeah, let's break that down.
So there are basically five distinct capability levels of a smart factory. Level one is just basic data collection, getting the machines connected. Level two is visualization, so those glowing dashboards we just talked about.
Right, the screens.
Exactly. Then level three brings in insights and alerts, where the system actually flags an anomaly. Level four is decision support, where the system suggests a fix. And finally, you have level five, which is fully autonomous decisions.
Where the system detects the issue and executes the correction without human intervention.
Right. But the harsh reality we are seeing across the board, most organizations are completely stuck at levels two and three. But because they have, so many screens and constant alerts, they deceive themselves into believing they're operating at level four.
Yeah, the current data validates that stagnation perfectly. I mean, if you look at the McKinsey survey of global manufacturing experts, it's staggering. Something like 92% of surveyed manufacturing organizations actually believe they are either ahead of or on par with their competitors when it comes to digital manufacturing.
Wow, 92%.
Yes. There is this massive collective overconfidence in the market right now. Yet the reality on the ground is that they are trapped in what the industry actually calls pilot purgatory.
Pilot purgatory. I love that term. Let's break that down.
Right.
Because pilot purgatory is essentially where capital expenditure goes to die. What does that actually look like inside an organization?
Well, it looks like a lot of motion without any real movement. I mean, on average, these companies are juggling eight different digital pilots simultaneously.
Wait, that's a lot of separate projects.
Right. They have one team working on 5G connectivity. Another is, testing a computer vision AI for quality control. Another is working on flexible automation.
Just totally siloed.
Exactly. They have all these isolated, highly publicized projects running in heavily controlled environments. But less than 30% of those organizations have actually managed to roll out critical solutions company-wide.
So they're basically confusing localized pilot activity with actual enterprise-wide transformation.
That is exactly what's happening.
But, okay, I want to look at it from the perspective of the executive who just signed off on those pilots. If I am managing a global manufacturing footprint, my legacy systems are probably a complete mess. I have machines from the 1990s sitting right next to brand new IoT-enabled equipment.
Sure, very common.
Isn't standardizing the data and building those basic dashboards a necessary first step? I mean, it feels like laying down the plumbing before you can turn on the faucet.
Yeah.
Aren't these pilot projects just the necessary plumbing phase of a much longer journey?
You know, that is the most common defense you hear in the boardroom. But we have to look at the actual operational consequences of that approach. Plumbing without a functional destination, it just causes a flood.
A data flood.
Exactly. You are flooding your operations with raw data. When you drown your frontline operators in continuous alerts and metrics without providing automated execution or clear decision-making authority, you generate what the research terms automated anxiety.
Automated anxiety. That makes perfect sense.
Right. The alarm goes off, the dashboard flashes red, but the operator is just left holding the bag. They have to figure out what the alert actually means, cross-reference it with their own experience, and then decide what to do, all while the clock is ticking and downtime costs are mounting by the minute.
And that brings us to the human cost of this architecture, which is, frankly, where the initial promise of Industry 4.0 really broke down, because the analysis points out that this technology-first doctrine created a structural flaw called the autonomy gap.
Yes, the autonomy gap is a huge issue.
Because Industry 4.0 was largely driven by this deceptive underlying assumption, right? That machines are perfectly consistent and predictable, while humans are inherently variable and error-prone. Therefore, the logic went, machines deserve more trust and control.
It was a deeply flawed anthropological assumption, and it got baked directly into the engineering stack. And you can see it in the executive mindset, too. I mean, surveys like the 2023 Deloitte Outlook showed that 64% of manufacturing executives prioritized automating processes far above any human capital initiatives.
So the focus was entirely on the machines?
Entirely. In their pursuit of perfection, they basically stripped workers of their agency. They took highly skilled craftspeople, these veterans who historically used their judgment, you know, their ears, their tacit knowledge, to solve complex mechanical problems, and they reduce them to passive monitors.
Just standing there waiting for a computer to tell them what to do. And this is what the industry refers to as the human out-of-the-loop architecture, or HUTL. And the fallout from that is incredibly ironic. I mean, we are seeing frontline workers, people with deep, specialized manufacturing expertise, actually migrating to delivery jobs at companies like Amazon or UPS.
Which sounds crazy until you really think about it.
Right. Think about why that is happening. Driving a delivery truck ironically offers more independence, more spatial awareness, and more actual decision-making authority than standing on the floor of a restricted so-called smart factory. Where your only job is being tethered to a digital alert system you have absolutely no control over.
It is a profound failure of operational design. I mean, by optimizing purely for precision, organizations completely starve the system of purpose. When you push human beings to the perceptual edges of a system, basically making them just the backup plan for when the machine fails, their critical thinking and problem-solving muscles literally atrophy.
They just lose that edge.
They lose their situational awareness. So when the automation eventually encounters a novel situation it wasn't programmed for, the human operator is just too disconnected from the daily rhythm of the machine to intervene effectively.
Because we've stripped the operator of their agency, which means we have to look at how the technology stack itself was built to enforce this bottleneck. Let's transition to the structural root of the problem here.
Let's do it.
Most architectures out there today follow a broken, strictly linear path. It basically goes like this. Sensors collect data, they send it to the cloud, the cloud feeds a dashboard, a human looks at the dashboard, and finally the human makes a decision. You have essentially engineered a human bottleneck right into the middle of your multi-million dollar tech stack.
Which virtually guarantees delayed response times.
Right.
And that linear open loop path is exactly why the 2.1 scene AM bearing failure wasn't caught in time. To break that flawed loop, organizations absolutely must move to a six-layer closed loop system.
Okay, what does that target state architecture actually look like?
It has to flow like this. Layer one is sensors, layer two is context, layer three is AI, layer four is decision, layer five is execution, and layer six is feedback. It has to be a continuous closed loop.
Let's really drill down into a couple of those layers to understand the mechanics, because I think layer two, contextualization, is fascinating. Because this is where the illusion of raw data completely falls apart.
Oh, absolutely.
A vibration sensor detecting a spike on a motor means absolutely nothing in a vacuum.
Right.
Raw data is just unresolved ambiguity to make that vibration spike mean something, you have to contextualize it.
You need the full picture.
Exactly. You have to combine it with the current production orders, the specific material batches currently running through the machine, the shift schedules, and the historical maintenance logs.
And this is exactly where most AI pilot projects completely detach from the physical reality of the shop floor. I mean, in a pilot environment, the data is usually artificially clean. It's perfectly structured.
Right. It's a lab setting.
Exactly. But on the real factory floor, data arrives at different frequencies. It comes in completely inconsistent formats from legacy machines, and frankly, it is frequently incomplete. If your architecture doesn't have a rigorous mechanism for contextualizing that data at layer two, your AI at layer three isn't actually predicting anything.
It's just guessing based on noise.
It is literally just guessing.
And assuming you get the context right and the AI makes the right decision at layer four, we get layer five, execution. And this layer seems to be the absolute graveyard of digital transformations.
It is the missing link that renders the rest of the investment completely useless. You can have perfect contextualization and a brilliant AI decision engine, but if your system generates an insight that still requires a human being to walk across the factory floor and manually pull a lever,
or manually type a work order into a separate maintenance terminal,
right, then your entire investment is a sunk cost. Layer 5 requires actual functional APIs connecting the AI's decision directly to your manufacturing execution system, the MES that runs the floor, or your ERP system that handles the business logistics.
So it's about closing the loop autonomously. If the system detects that 200 euro bearing degrading, it shouldn't just flash a red light on a dashboard. It should autonomously adjust the machine parameters to reduce stress on the bearing.
Exactly.
It should instantly reroute production to another line and automatically schedule maintenance for the next shift change, all without a human having to approve a ticket.
Yes. The decision scales into an action immediately.
Which brings up a really critical roadblock for the leaders trying to implement this. Why do these closed-loop systems work beautifully in a single controlled pilot plant, but then completely collapse when leadership tries to roll them out to 5 or 10 global facilities?
Because scaling is fundamentally misunderstood at the executive level. Scaling is not mere deployment of software. Scaling is architecture replication. Right. And you cannot replicate an architecture across a global footprint if your underlying foundation is chaotic. If we look back at that McKinsey data, it reveals a very sobering statistic. Only 20% of organizations have a network-wide data lake established in more than half of their plants.
Only 20%?
Yes. So if plant A in Ohio has different machine variability, different data models, and different legacy infrastructure than plant B in Munich, scaling that closed-loop system becomes an exercise in endless, expensive reinvention.
And it isn't just a technical barrier of matching up data models either, is it? It's a massive governance barrier. When you scale a digital transformation into Europe, for example, you immediately hit GDPR compliance and works councils.
The governance piece is huge.
And the mechanism here is fascinating to me. When you put a sensor on a machine to track performance, you often inherently track operator behavior. Mm-hmm. I mean, if the machine's spindle speed drops every Tuesday at 2:00 p.m., you aren't just tracking the motor. You're tracking the specific worker on that shift.
Which instantly transforms a simple machine maintenance project into an employee surveillance issue.
Exactly.
If an AI system is perceived by the European workforce or the Works Council as a tool to monitor their bathroom breaks or their personal efficiency rather than an augmentation tool to help them, the rollout stops dead. In Germany, the adoption of these intelligent architectures isn't usually blocked because the technology fails.
Right.
It is blocked because there's a fundamental lack of trust.
So if you don't account for data ownership, role-based access, and cross-site consistency from day one, your digital transformation just hits a brick wall the moment it crosses a border.
Yep.
But all these governance and scaling roadblocks aren't just IT headaches. They are bleeding cash. Let's look at the economic reality. Every minute an operator spends fighting a works council over data privacy or trying to manually contextualize the dashboard is a minute that stamping press is at risk.
And doing nothing is incredibly expensive.
Very. We are talking about 5,000 to 20,000 euros per hour in downtime for a typical plant, and anywhere from 5 to 15% in scrap loss. But achieving real ROI, like a 20 to 40% reduction in downtime through predictive maintenance, that requires focusing strictly on execution, not just insight.
Which brings us to a crucial structural concept introduced by Smarter Chains, this idea of value intelligence, because technology adoption alone cannot solve your margin pressures, and it certainly won't solve the manufacturing talent crisis of workers leaving for delivery jobs.
Right.
Manufacturers have to stop treating digital transformation as this standalone silo. They need to unify their isolated lean manufacturing programs, their ESG initiatives, and their digital teams under a single, rigorous financial view of loss across the entire factory network.
So it's all about the bottom line.
Exactly. You don't buy an AI tool just to say you have AI. You deploy an architecture to relentlessly hunt down and eliminate specific, quantified financial losses.
But, you know, if we follow that logic to its ultimate conclusion, it raises a really challenging question about the future state of manufacturing.
Okay, what is it?
Well, if you successfully build this flawless, closed-loop, level 5 autonomous execution architecture, where the machine detects the problem, contextually analyzes it, and it autonomously executes the fix perfectly, where does the human actually sit? Doesn't maximum operational automation directly contradict the idea of empowering the workforce?
It's a vital paradox to resolve. And frankly, it is exactly why the industry is currently undergoing a massive shift from the rigid doctrines of Industry 4.0 to the much more human-centric approach of Industry 5.0.
Right.
Industry 5.0 is the necessary correction to that exact problem. The strategic mandate for 2026 and beyond is crystal clear. Machines are instruments of precision. Humans are the foundation of resilience.
Precision versus resilience. I really want to highlight that distinction for our listeners because it defines the whole architecture.
It is the dividing line between success and failure. Automation delivers the cold precision of the how. It executes deterministic tasks flawlessly within known parameters. But human beings remain the architects of the why.
They provide the meaning.
Yes. Humans are the only ones in the loop who can interpret novel meaning, who can actually care about the business outcomes, and who can creatively orchestrate responses to black swan events that the AI has literally never seen before.
So instead of marginalizing the human, we are moving toward a model of cognitive augmentation. You deploy AI copilots, spatial computing, and augmented reality, not to replace the worker, but to deliver highly contextualized information that enhances human judgment.
Exactly.
You give them operational autonomy with digital guardrails, allowing them to solve complex problems within their sphere of authority.
Precisely. And you have to measure success differently to reflect that. Alongside your traditional productivity and machine uptime metrics, you introduce human-centric KPIs. You measure engagement, workflow, and cognitive velocity.
It's a totally different scorecard.
It is. The ultimate goal is what is termed a human-bright enterprise. It's an operational environment where people aren't just these digitally tethered, passive monitors waiting for a dashboard to blink. They are actively engaged in purposeful orchestration. They are managing the intelligent system, not being managed by it.
So to synthesize this entire architectural shift for you, the manufacturing leader listening today, your data collection problem is likely already solved, but your autonomous decision-making is not. Building more dashboards will not scale your business. Building automated decisions will.
Absolutely.
And perhaps most critically, if your factory still quietly depends on the tacit, undocumented experience of your frontline operators to continuously compensate for the gaps and blind spots in your digital system, your transformation hasn't actually reduced your operational risk at all. It has merely redistributed it.
That's incredibly well said. And as you look at your own transformation roadmaps and capital allocations, consider the hidden long-term risk of what we might call algorithmic atrophy.
Algorithmic atrophy. What does that mean?
Well, let's assume you succeed. Huh. You successfully deploy this perfect six-layer closed-loop system. It flawlessly runs the execution layer for 5 years, autonomously optimizing parameters and preventing failures.
Sounds great so far.
Right. But what happens to the tacit knowledge of your workforce over those 5 years? If your AI suddenly faces an unprecedented black swan supply chain event, something that falls completely outside its historical training parameters, it will fail.
Because it's never seen it before.
Exactly. And when it inevitably does fail, will your human operators still possess the contextual muscle memory and the deep mechanical intuition to step in and save the process? Or did your perfectly optimized, frictionless architecture quietly engineer out the very human resilience it was originally supposed to augment?
Wow. A vital question to ask before you install the next sensor. Because as we saw at 02.17 a.m. with that shattered 200-euro bearing, having all the data in the world doesn't matter if the system doesn't know how to act, and the humans have forgotten how to see. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive into industrial architecture. We will see you next time.